Welcome to the audio podcast of North River Church. You can find out more about North River and ways you can be involved at our website, gonorthriver.org.
I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word this morning. Join me once again in the book of Ecclesiastes, Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 1 through 12 is where we'll spend our time this morning. And as we prepare to do that, I want to remind you of something that we said a few months back, because it'll set the tone for us as we work through this passage of Scripture. There's a certain cadence, a certain way this passage of Scripture is put together that is familiar with one that we've covered before. And so if you'll remember back, it's been a number of months ago, and maybe you weren't here, and this is a piece of information that you need for life, okay? You with me? Do you remember, church, the compliment sandwich? Do y'all remember that? Do you remember a few weeks back, months back, we talked about the compliment sandwich? And if you don't know what I'm talking about, here's what the compliment sandwich is. It's if you need to have a difficult conversation with someone, you begin that conversation with a compliment. You say what you need to say, and then you end that conversation with a compliment. Some of you are like, That's good. Write that down. Take that to the bank. Here's what we're going to see in the passage this morning. Not as pretty, not as glamorous. I joked all week long with our staff in the office. This passage of Scripture is the death sandwich. It just is. Solomon writing this is basically saying, hey, you're going to die. Enjoy life, you're going to die. Church, I'm not kidding. That is exactly what Solomon does in this passage of Scripture. But he does it in such a way, and I hope for us as we walk through the text this morning, as we see what Solomon is trying to communicate to us, that it will leave us not discouraged that we're all going to die, though we are, but to give us a picture of enjoyment in life today and also life to come for all of those who are in Christ. So as we look at the text this morning, beginning in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1, I want to read through verse 12, pray for us, and then we'll unpack it together. Solomon writes, "But all this I laid to heart, examining it all, how the righteous and the wise and their deeds are in the hand of God. Whether it is love or hate, man does not know. Both are before him. It is the same for all, since the same event happens to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. And he who swears is as he who shuns an oath. There is an evil in all that is done under the sun, that the same event happens to all. Also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil, and madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope, for a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they will die, but the dead know nothing, and they have no more reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. Their love and their hate and their envy have all perished, and forever they have no more share in all that is done under the sun. Go, eat your bread with joy, and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do. Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that he has given you under the sun, because that is your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, for there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor the bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but for time and chance happen to them all." For man does not know his time. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. Father, we ask this morning that as we unpack your word together, you would open our eyes that we'd be able to see, you would open our ears that we would be able to hear, that you would open our hearts and our minds that we would be ready to respond to your word and to your spirit this morning. And we ask all of this in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Now, I told Scott this week, this is just so Solomon. We've been walking through the book of Ecclesiastes, and I shared this with you before, that there's moments in the text where I'm looking at Solomon, reading this, and I'm thinking, man, that's just depressing. I mean, that's basically what Solomon's saying. Hey, newsflash, you're all going to die. You're like, Solomon, why say that? Why go to the effort of just saying, I mean, that's the person that you invite to the party that's a party pooper, right? You don't want to invite them, but you have to invite them. I feel like that's where Solomon is. We have to invite him because he's in the text, right? He's speaking truth to us from the Lord and a reminder for us that we are all going to die. Solomon begins in this death sandwich of a passage, reminding us it doesn't matter whether you're righteous or evil. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or not. It doesn't matter. None of those things matter. You will die. Think, man, I came to church for an encouraging message, and that's what you bring me this morning, Pastor. No, there is encouragement in that because sometimes it takes for us that recognition, that understanding, that reminder that death is coming for all of us, regardless of whether we want to accept it or not. It is coming, and it matters the way in which we live our lives. Being a pastor, I end up doing funerals at times, and for everyone who attends a funeral, it's a quick reminder that there will be a day coming when I will be there in the casket. So the follow-up question is, then how do I live my life? How should I live my life? How should I enjoy, find meaning, find satisfaction in life? Solomon reminds us that death is coming. He does it in such a way that he says, it doesn't matter who you are, it's the same for all, verse 2, since the same event happens to the righteous and to the wicked, to the good and the evil, to the clean and the unclean, to him who sacrifices and him who does not sacrifice. As the good one is, so is the sinner. He who swears is the same as the one who shuns an oath. There is an evil, and in that Solomon's talking about death, that is done under the sun, and the same event happens to all. So look to your right, look to your left, and just be reminded. Every single one of us, every single one of us is going to face a day when we are no longer going to be here unless Jesus returns. Which I'm good. Jesus, come on back. Take me home, right? But if that doesn't happen prior to our time, we will die. Solomon's reminding us of this. And then he says here, also, the hearts of the children of man are full of evil. Madness is in their hearts while they live, and after that they go to the dead. But he who is joined with all the living has hope. Solomon kind of pauses in there for just a minute in the death is coming, which I told Pastor Sky we needed to have like skull and crossbones come up on the screen and just kind of flash, you know. So death is coming, but there's hope for those that are living. If you're living, if you're alive today, which if you're here this morning, you are, there's hope for you because you are still alive. You still have an opportunity to live the life that God has intended for you to live with joy in this world that we find ourselves in. Solomon says here, he who is joined with all the living has hope, for listen to this, a living dog is better than a dead lion. I walked into Scott's office this week. I was like, I mean, just listen to this. A living dog is better than a dead lion. And listen to verse 5, for the living know that they will die, I mean, it's almost this mindset, well, at least you are alive and you know that you're going to die, because when you're dead, you don't know anything. That's what Solomon says. But then he begins to follow this up with what I hope for us this morning will be the meat of the message. He follows up this first part, this sandwich here, this piece of top bread, just a reminder, hey, you're all going to die. It's going to come to you whether you want it to or not. And all of us have experienced losing someone in our lives that reality took on a new meaning for us. We saw that. We recognized that. So what do we do? Beginning in verse 7 and going through verse 10, Solomon gives for us just a snapshot of what it means to enjoy life. Now, Solomon has already emphasized for us, if you're new to the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon's given us a glimpse that if you're chasing after meaning in life and all of these things that he's about to describe, apart from a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, you're going to miss what life's all about. So if you're here this morning and you're like, okay, so I'm just here, I'm alive, and I'm just supposed to enjoy life. That's what the pastor's saying. Yes, in a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that is the only thing that's going to give you full and lasting meaning in life. And so if that's the step that you need to take, we'd love to help you and share with you what it means to turn from your sin and to reach out and receive the salvation that Jesus' death on the cross offers to you. But in light of that, in light of knowing that death is coming, Solomon gives us four admonitions this morning, four things to do. Verse 7, Solomon says, "Go eat your bread with joy and drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do." If you're taking notes this morning, this is what I want you to write down. On the heels of knowing that death is coming, Solomon says, enjoy the good gifts that God gives you in life. Enjoy God's good gifts. Now let's just think about that for just a second. What are God's good gifts that He's given to us? You woke up this morning and did you ever think, I should really take a breath? No. God's good gift to us is that He's wired our bodies in such a way that we don't even have to think about it. We just breathe. And we live on a planet, church, that has the right mix of oxygen in the air so that when we breathe, we don't die, but we're able to live. And we woke up this morning, and I don't know about you, but I go in and splash a little water on my face, and then I put in this unique invention called contacts. I can't see, but I get to put contacts in. Just one of God's good gifts. Because otherwise, I wouldn't be able to see you, and I wouldn't know if you're engaged, and I wouldn't be able to call you out if you're not. No, I'm just kidding. But you maybe got up and ate breakfast this morning, or you pulled back the curtains and you saw the sunrise. And you got in your vehicle and you had enough gas in your tank to drive and come to church. And the sun's shining and it is hot, but at least it's not flooding outside, right? There are so many good gifts that God gives us day in and day out. I've heard somebody ask this question. If God took away every good gift in your life that you didn't thank Him for the day before, what would that look like? So Solomon, in looking, in reminding those who are reading this, reminding us who thousands of years later are reading this text, Solomon says, enjoy the good gifts that God has given you. Enjoy those things. Now let's put it into context, because Solomon says that those things cannot bear the full weight of a meaningful life. We can't just enjoy God's good gifts at the expense of having a relationship with the giver. The reason that the good things are enjoyable is because they come from a good giver, a good father, who knows what we need even before we ask him, who gives us good gifts. But I want to call our attention to something beyond just the moment in which we live now, and even just our life here. God's good gifts to us now are just a small glimpse of the good gifts that are going to come. Just a small glimpse of the good gifts those of us who have a relationship with Jesus Christ, who when we die will spend eternity with Him. What we see that's good today is just a little glimpse of what we'll experience one day. You know how I know this? Because of the way that heaven is described. If you read the scriptures, heaven's described in such a way that the streets are paved with what? Gold. Listen, if common building materials in heaven are gold, it's going to be good, church. I mean, just think about that for a second. I mean, it talks about the gates of heaven being made of precious jewels. If those things that we think are valuable in this life, if those are simply building materials in the next life, oh, can you imagine what God's gifts to come are going to look like? We see a foretaste of that in His gift of salvation through His Son, Jesus. We see glimpses of that in what God's doing in our lives now. But as we enjoy life, and we should enjoy life, we should enjoy God's good gifts, it should create just a sense within us of, oh, I can't imagine how much better it's going to get. I can't imagine how good God's gifts are going to be. And so when we think about death, we don't think about it as a bad thing. In fact, Paul would say that he looks at death as a better thing because he gets to see Jesus face to face. He gets to enjoy God's presence for all eternity. Solomon says, "Go eat your bread with joy, drink your wine with a merry heart, for God has already approved what you do." Notice verse 8. Solomon says, "Let your garments be always white. Let not oil be lacking on your head." Taking notes, this is the second truth. Not only should we enjoy God's good gifts, but we should enjoy God's generous provision. God's generous provision. Now for us, we look at verse 8 and we're wondering, or at least I was wondering early on before I studied into it, I was thinking, okay, they didn't have washing machines back then. Maybe he's talking about new clothes, right? Something that's white, something that's not dirty, and put oil on your head. I mean, I know that they didn't bathe every day like hopefully we do, but they would put spices and perfumes on themselves so they wouldn't stink. So I'm thinking, okay, maybe that's what he's talking about. But it goes even a step beyond that, and it describes festival, celebration. In fact, it describes a wedding feast. So when Solomon writes here, he is in his mind thinking about what happens when a couple gets married. It's a month-long endeavor. They begin early on, and they just feast. And the community around them does the exact same thing. I mean, it's just a huge party, and you wear the best clothes, and you take a shower every day. And Solomon is looking and saying to those who are reading, death is coming, enjoy God's good gifts, but celebrate. Enjoy life. Throw a party. Put on your nice clothes that God has generously provided for you. Put on some perfume. Do your hair. Look nice and enjoy life. Sometimes Christians don't celebrate well. Can I just say that? Sometimes we don't celebrate well. But I've said this before to you. Out of every person on the planet, those of us that have experienced salvation in Jesus Christ, we should be the ones who have the most to celebrate. We should have the most joy. We should have the best time. We should enjoy life to the fullest. Now, let me remind you as well, as we think about this, as we think about verse 8 and enjoying generous provision, as we put it in the context of Solomon's day and the wedding ceremony and the lengths that they would go to celebrate, don't forget that again, this is just a small glimpse, a small picture of the greatest celebration that will happen one day when Christ returns, when He calls His church to Himself, at the great wedding feast of the Lamb, when we are in God's presence for all eternity and we are enjoying His generous provision that He's made available through His Son, Jesus. The description of that time in the Bible's language is a feast, a wedding feast. And so as we enjoy life, as we enjoy God's generous provision today, let it be a reminder of that day to come. Let it be a reminder for you of, I can have the greatest time in this life, but it's just a glimpse of what it's going to look like when I'm in God's presence. It's just a foreshadowing of how great it's going to be, which church should for us give us a different outlook on life. Because as you look and you are reminded in verse 7 of God's good gifts and verse 8 of God's generous provision, if we're not careful, we will put the weight of our meaning in life on those things. We'll try to gather as many of God's good gifts as we can, or we'll end up trying to turn God into a genie in a bottle that's just going to give us stuff. Do we want the giver more than we want the gifts? Do we want God Himself? Because true joy, true meaning, true lasting happiness in life is tied to the giver and not the gifts. Solomon continues on in verse 9 and he says, enjoy life with the wife whom you love. Now, I want to place a caveat there. Don't look at me and say, well, what if I don't love my wife? It's a given in the text that you should, if you're married, love your spouse. Bonus points for you, brother. Enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days, listen to this, of your vain life. Thanks, Solomon, that He has given you under the sun, because that's your portion in life. Solomon says, enjoy God's good gifts, enjoy His generous provision, but enjoy close relationships. Now, the closest relationship, if you're married here, should be with your spouse. That's the closest relationship. In fact, it's so close that the Bible says, and the two of you have become one flesh. That's how close it is. Your relationship with your spouse should be enjoyable. Especially for those of us who are believers, who have for us the admonition that Paul gives us in Ephesians chapter 5, that husbands, we are to treat our wives like Christ treated the church. That He laid Himself down for her because He loved her. So as you think about that, let me just ask husbands, wives, Are you enjoying life with your spouse? This past week, we had the glorious privilege of shipping our kids to grandparents' house. Can I get an amen in here, right? They were gone for almost a week. And Janie and I commented to one another, it is so quiet around the house. And some of you who have sent kids off, you've experienced that. It's just the two of you now, and you're living life. Now, for a lot of us in this church, there's like 18 of them in our house, right? Listen, if you want to get involved in a small group and have babies, Lance and Dana's small group, something in the water at their house. Amen. But listen, for us, we had the opportunity, with kids gone, for Janie and I to reconnect as a couple. Because there are days in the past when we were first dating where we could spend hours and hours and hours talking. I mean, stay up till 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning just talking. And then kids come along and life gets in the way, and all of a sudden you look up and really all that is transpiring between yourself and your spouse is just a business partnership. We live under the same roof, we pay the same bills, we get our kids where they need to go. I had the opportunity just for the last week to enjoy being with my wife. And I recommend ship your kids to grandparents' house if you need to. But enjoy the relationship that you have with your spouse. Enjoy the close relationships that you have with other believers. One of the things that we believe life groups are so important is for you to connect with other believers in life, to do life alongside of them. Parents, you have close relationships with your kids. You should enjoy the time that you have with your kids. I had the sweetest moment last night. I was sitting on my oldest daughter's bed, and we were praying together before turning in for the night. And I said, "Baby, I want to pray for you. Is there anything that's going on that you want me to pray about?" And we talked for a little bit. And then she said, "Daddy, I want to pray for you. Is there anything that's going on?" And I said, "Baby," I said, I mean, not really. I mean, I think things are okay." She said, "But you're preaching tomorrow." I said, "Yeah, I am preaching tomorrow." And she said, "When I was sick and I sat in the service a few weeks ago, you said you hated list sermons. Remember that, church? Like 12 points in the sermon. Do you remember that? Just wait till next week. It's 16. She said, "You said you hated that." She said, are you okay to preach tomorrow?" She remembered that. She remembered that moment. I'm just sitting there on her bed thinking, I mean, yeah, there's times when I want to ship her to grandparents' house, right? But then there's moments like that where, parents, we need to enjoy our kids. We need to enjoy the life that God has given us and the people that we have the opportunity to do life with. And let's not just get trapped in the reality that this time now is all that matters, because hear me, we have eternity that we will spend with brothers and sisters in Christ forever. We'll spend eternity. Listen, if you're a follower of Jesus this morning in this place, we are going to spend eternity together. We're going to spend eternity together. Let me say it again. Forever together. So wouldn't it make sense for us now to enjoy the relationships that God has given us, to enjoy the people that God has placed in our lives, the people we get to do life together with, our spouse, our kids, our friends, to enjoy life together? Solomon continues in verse 10. says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. For there is no work or thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol to which you are going. Enjoy God's good gifts. Enjoy His generous provision. Enjoy close relationships. Verse 10, enjoy hard work. You're like, Michael, you had me with the first three. Hard work. Enjoy hard work. That's what Solomon says. Enjoy the toil that your hands are working on. Enjoy hard work. Now, here's the thing for us. We have to be reminded of the fact that for many of us, we spend somewhere between 40 and 60 hours a week working. Some of you are like, well, that's why I'm miserable, right? I got it figured out now. Let me just ask this question. What if you enjoyed your work? You said, Michael, you haven't met my boss. You don't know what I have to deal with. You don't know how hard it is. Solomon does. Solomon's not under an illusion that hard work is not hard. That's why he calls it hard work. He's not under the illusion that everything comes easy. He's not under the illusion that life is just smooth sailing. In fact, he looks and he says, enjoy the hard work that comes with life. It comes with life. When you look at Genesis, when Adam and Eve were created in the garden, God gave them work to do before sin entered the world. Some people have this mindset that the reason we have to work is because of sin. No, God had given work as a good thing for Adam and Eve to do in the garden. They were to tend and to keep it, have dominion over it. Meaning that work for us is a good thing. Working hard, working diligently, and let me throw this in there, working as unto the Lord is a good thing. Because it gives us a glimpse of the work that we will one day be doing in eternity. Some of you have had the misconception that heaven is just kind of floating on a cloud. You're thinking, I'm not sure I even want to go there. Just float on a cloud all day. But no, we are going to have responsibility. We're going to have work in heaven. We're going to have jobs. We're going to have things that God has called us to do. And as we work, we are having the opportunity to praise the Lord as we work. So we work and praise the Lord all at the same time, which gives us a picture of how life and work should function now. If we're going to work for the Lord and as unto the Lord, let us practice now. Let us look at what God's called us to do, the job in which He's placed us, and let us serve Him as we do what God's called us to do. As we work, as we serve, we do it as unto the Lord. To button this passage of Scripture again in verse 11, here's the back part of the sandwich. Again, I saw that under the sun the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. For man does not know his time, and by that Solomon means we don't know when we are going to die. Like fish that are taken in an evil net, and like birds that are caught in a snare, so the children of man are snared at an evil time when it suddenly falls upon them. As he told us in the first six verses, death is coming. That should sober us for a moment, give us just a pause just to be reminded if it's coming, and it is coming. How do we live our lives with joy for the Lord. How do we live today with the end in mind? How do we live with joy, knowing that the greatest joy that we will ever experience in life is going to come if we're followers of Jesus when we die? Church, can I just encourage you and encourage myself this morning? How about this? Let's practice like we're getting ready for that day. Let's practice living in joy for one day when we will live with joy. Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the opportunity we have this morning to be reminded of the sobering truth that we are not going to live forever in this life. That for every single one of us, your word tells us that our life is just a vapor. It's here today and gone tomorrow. For every single one of us, there's a time appointed when we will die. And the question before us this morning is, are we ready for that day? First and foremost, have we taken the step of trusting in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, receiving the free gift of salvation His death on the cross offers to us? Are we ready for that day when we die? To know that we know that we know that we will spend eternity with Christ. And if that's a question this morning for you, I'd love to talk with you, to share with you, to pray with you, to help you take that step of trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior this morning. If you're here this morning and you look and you say, Michael, I just haven't experienced a whole lot of joy. Can I remind you that that's what we were created for? God has created us so that we would experience joy in this life, which is just a foretaste of joy in the life to come. Maybe this morning you need to fix your eyes not on your circumstances and situation, but you need to focus your eyes on a good God. His generous gifts, His great provision, the relationships that He's placed in your life, the work that He's given you to do, that's just a small picture of what life with Him for all eternity is going to look like. Maybe if you get your eyes off of the moment and focus them on someone greater, it'll bring the joy that you've been missing. Father, use this time in our lives. Let us leave this place as people filled with joy. I ask that in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand and would you sing? If you need to talk with someone, I'll be at the back. Love to talk with you this morning.